We're in part two of our season in, or our messages in the book of Joshua called The Seasons of Promise. And the title of today's message is Through the River. Through the River. And you're welcome to turn to the third chapter of Joshua. We'll be there in a moment, the third chapter of Joshua. And this week, I want to focus on the actual river crossing. So last week, they were preparing to cross it, looking forward to what was in the promised land. And I want to focus in on when they actually crossed it, because I think often we can kind of blow by those moments in a story when the miracle is actually happening. And I want you to remember, because we can often forget the difficulty and impact of walking through a miracle. The difficulty and impact of walking through something that is hard. We can struggle with fear, with unbelief, and with just plain being tired. Has anyone ever been just plain tired? Yes, I've shared with you several times, and last night was no different. My son was up through the night. They like, for some reason, Saturday night is a big night for them. They like to have fun. But sometimes walking through a miracle is just as hard or harder than knowing you'll need one in the future. And so I want to start off by reading the same scripture I started off with last week in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8. It's a very real scripture to me. So I'm going to read there, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Church, everything has a season. And I will say this, we don't believe, there's a belief out there called causation, that God causes every single thing to happen. And we know we don't believe in this, because then he would have caused sin to happen and he would cause you to sin, and that is against the character and who we know of as God. But in a fallen world, things happen. Things happen, and you never know what might just happen. However, watch this. The constant in this life is not time or death. God has already beaten those. The constant is him. The constant is him. And so when you're crossing a river, when the promise is or is not in sight, and fear, shame, struggle, or just plain being tired rises up, you remember your constant, and that is Jesus. That he will never, ever, no, not ever, never let you down. Now, I want to look at three different groups of people that crossed the Jordan River in our story this morning. The first group you have is the people, the average person in that nation. And just like that nation, we have to remember that no one there and no one in here is meaningless. What I mean by that is that you are a child of God and that you were chosen for a reason. The second group of people we're looking at is the leaders in that nation, the people that seem to be able to take control and help direct a situation. And we have to remember that we are all leaders in one realm of influence or another. That is what you are called to. You are a leader. And third, you have the priests in our story this morning, the people who were chosen even out of a chosen group for a specific calling. And in Exodus 19:6 and 1 Peter chapter 2, we are all called to be priests. That is the calling on your life. But I want to start off with that first group of people this morning, the people of God. And we saw last week that it took unity as a nation to cross over and take the promises God had in store. And we find that true to ourselves today. But we have to realize also that because everything has a time and a season, that we can lose out on a moment if we neglect God's timing. Not to say that he can't restore, repair, and still use, but we can miss out on what God wants to do in a moment. And that moment will never be had again. Think for a moment what God is doing and wants to do in, through, and with you right now. What is God doing in your life in this moment? And then think about this. What might be holding you back? And you are the only one that can answer that. I can't answer that for you. But what might be holding you back from taking that step of faith and seeing what God wants to do? I want to encourage you in this church, don't lose your moment. As the people of God, don't lose your moment. We read in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning." And I wasn't going to say this, but it kind of hit me when I was studying this morning that some of us just need to get up earlier to see the things of God happen. And I'm preaching to myself. I did not want to get out of bed this morning. As I mentioned before, my son was up through the morning. My wife is so wonderful. She got up with him so I could sleep a little bit. She knew I needed to rest before speaking today. But I know that when I get up earlier and I seek the Lord, my day is always better. And not just my day, but the planning for the rest of my life. Because God wants to speak. And sometimes before we start anything else, not just sometimes, all the time, we need to hear from the Lord. But it says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over." I want to point out, Joshua and all the people rose up. They set out. Church, they seized their God-appointed moment. We have to look for what God is doing. I want us to think about that for just a second. Think about, what is God doing? Look at what the people and the leadership around you are doing. Hopefully that's what God is doing, but we need to see all that. There could have been in our story someone that decided that they did not want to take a chance to cross the river, and I don't believe there was, but in our stories today, there is often that moment where we think twice if we want to step into what God has called us to do. And they could have thought to themselves, you know, the water can come rushing back at any point. But church, there is always danger in following God. If you did not know that, please listen. There is danger in following God, and there is risk in adventure. There is risk in adventure. Does anyone here love to take some risks? I could point some people out probably, but I won't. I've taken a few risks. I like the thrill sometimes, that feeling your stomach gets when you're just dropping and things are out of control. I kind of like that. I'm that guy that sits on a roller coaster and purposely sits up so they can't fully close the bar as far as they should. And so the bump goes up and you're actually in the air until you go back down. Now, later in life, I realize that was probably stupid. Anybody relate? Yeah. But there is risk in adventure, and there is always God. He is always there in protection and provision. In verse 2 and 3, it says, "So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it.'" First, God gives us time to prepare. I know it sometimes doesn't seem like that, but in the quiet moments of our lives, he is speaking because he knows what is going to happen. And church, I fully believe he begins to prepare us for what will happen, good and bad. But it depends on if you're listening. Church, what is God preparing you for? And then have you been obedient to preparation? That is a big thing we have to realize as Christians walking through life. Are you obedient to the preparation God has for you? Sometimes it is easier to step into a miracle expecting God to just move when God wants to prepare our hearts and minds for it. Are you obedient to preparation? But that verse we just read says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when you see, what can you see God doing right now? We always, watch this, we always have a choice of what to believe, what to see, what to think. Are you seeing what God wants you to see? Because there's a difference in what God wants you to see than what the world wants you to see. The world saw an impassable river and God saw dry ground. The world saw an impassable river, and God saw dry ground. Church, what are you seeing this morning? Are you seeing with the eyes of heaven that look into a situation and see the answer before it takes place? God sees a way through. What are you going to believe this morning? It also mentions the ark in that the passage we just read, the ark that the priests and the Levites were bearing. What are the Christian leaders around you preparing for, and what are they bearing? Not just this morning, but on a regular basis. What are they bearing? Are they bearing a load that might be too great for them? They might be waiting on you to take up part of it and walk into a river of miracles. Are you following your leaders? The end of that verse then says, go after it. We must follow the presence of God wherever he takes us. Wherever he takes us. Church, if you're like me, then we often want to go places that we have decided to go on our own. But God's presence is already doing something. And if you're like me, when you do something on your own, something usually goes wrong. I shared with you a few weeks back on the men's four-wheeler trip. I had decided to go somewhere on my own, and I tumped my four-wheeler over and broke the headlight, lost my phone, and had to go walk back in shame. I was probably not listening to the voice of the Lord. But God is already making a way, and he wants you to partner with him to walk through it. Church, follow the presence. Follow the presence of God. And that applies to situations, and it applies to relationships. It applies to the relationship we have with God, in that, do you seek after the presence of God? Do you spend time in the presence of God? Verse 4 says this, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it." It's talking about the ark. about 2,000 cubits of measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Church, first of all, there's a space between there, because I believe that we can get ahead or behind what God is doing. Don't get ahead of what God is doing. I firmly believe for myself that God often does not tell me things because I will screw it up. Can anyone relate to that? But sometimes out of fear or out of pride, we can start something that it's not time for. Or we can fail to step into something that it is time for, but we wait and we miss the moment because of fear or pride. And I can say that from examples of my own life. But it also then says that you may know the way. Church, God wants you to know the way. But more than that, he wants to walk with you through it. He wants you to walk with him step by step. God's presence is what led into that river. And God's presence is what leads us into every river situation and miracle of life, if we're watching for him. He told Joshua what was going to take place, but he had also appointed a specific time when it would take place. Church, God's presence is where timing is found. God's presence is where timing is found. And you have not passed this way before. Watch this. You have not passed this way before. God does not repeat miracles often. God stretches our faith by doing something different. Church, there is no formula for what God is going to do. In a sense, he's a very wild God. I love that quote from C.S. Lewis talking about God as a lion, that he's wild, but he's good. He's untamable, but he is good. And we trust in that. He might not do something the same way he's done it before, because he doesn't want us to get in the mindset that we can make him do something. So he stretches us. Have you been stretched before, church? Well, I sure have. But it's time maybe for something new. Something new in your life that God wants to do, because I feel like it is always time for something new with God. He always wants to move in some new way. Verse 5, we're talking about the new things God wants to do. It says, sanctify yourselves. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. We've said it before, we are the people of God, so we can't look like the rest of the world. And if there's an area in your life that you have not allowed God to begin to sanctify, and that's not saying that we're supposed to be perfect. That means God is working on us. But an area that we have not given over to God to change, to clean, then watch this. According to this scripture, it is a requirement to enter into the promises of God that you begin to let Jesus sanctify you. We can't expect to receive the promise if we're not going through the required preparation. Church, we have to sanctify ourselves. Don't stop yourself. Watch this. Don't stop yourself from all that God has to do before and in you, because we might not be willing to give up something we think is good for what God knows is absolutely best. Don't stop yourself. And then don't forget, at the end of that verse, it says, he's the God of wonders. I think we can sometimes forget that that is who he is. He's the God of wonders. He does things beyond and above anything that we can imagine. Psalm 77:14 says this, you are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. Church, God wants to declare his wonder in your life. Will you let him? Will I let him? Verse 6 says, then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. When it is time to move, we need to move. That sounds simple. But when it's time to move, we need to move. We need to carry the presence of God where we're going because we're in his plan. Don't forget, he goes before, he goes behind, he is all around. Psalms 139:5 says, you have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. That is the God we serve. Verse 7, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. We touched a little bit on that last week, but church, God will lift you up to the position that he plans for you. And watch this, Joshua could have sought this position before. He had well earned it. He had served, and he had done everything Moses asked, and I feel like according to scripture, he did everything God asked him to do, but he waited on God's timing. Because God's timing is important. God's timing is important. And also then, don't fight when God wants to exalt you. We could mistake that for humility when it's actually pride and fear. Don't fight when God wants to exalt you. And one of the best things that I've ever heard someone say is that, I know I'm not ready, but I'm going to do it anyways. And that, I believe, is the heart that God wants us to have. I know I'm not ready, but I'm going to walk with the Lord. I'm going to take advice from people around me. I'm going to see this thing through. Church, God lifts us up not only to stretch our faith, but to glorify himself. Because watch this, you are where you are or will be to give glory to God. To give glory to God. That is our purpose. Our purpose here on this earth is to give glory to God. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? That is a great measure for your life. Is what I'm doing right now giving glory to God? Verse 8, you shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. When God says to take a step, we've just got to step. And at this time, there was still water. And I want you to take a moment and imagine this scenario, if you can with me, that maybe it's you and you're holding this Ark of the Covenant, and there's thousands of people behind you, watching if you have enough faith to step into the water. And these men stepped out. And they stepped out because they had expectation that God would move. Church, what do you expect? Do you expect God to move? It's a lot nicer when things are just laid out before us, but we often, probably most often, have to step into the water before it's going to move. Do you expect God to move in your life, move in our church, move in our valley? What are you watching for, and who are you partnering with to see a miracle? In verse 13, it says this, as soon as the soles of their feet touched the water. God is often waiting for you to take that step. Church, I'm going to encourage you, go for it. Go for it. And know that as a church, we've got your back. If you fall down a little bit, we're here to pick you up. Verses 9 and 10 say this. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here. And hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. I feel like he just covered everybody. Everything that you can imagine, he's going to drive them out. But it says, by this you shall know. Before they fought the next battle, which would be at Jericho, God gave them a miracle. The things going on in your life right now, the provision, all that God is doing, you have to realize that he's doing that to give you the mindset that he's not going to stop. He's with you in all those little things to get you prepared for the big things that you're going to have to step into later. The mindset that God will not stop, and then it says he will without fail drive out. That is a scripture I love because it says without fail. That means there is no margin for error. 100% of the time, God will not fail. He will drive out. Church, watch this. Your stepping out in faith is the beginning of him driving out the enemy. Your stepping out in faith is the beginning of him driving out the enemy. It's him that does it. We fight, but he goes before. We fight, but he goes before. Watch this. Every promise that you step towards is a promise he has made a way for. You like how that rhymed? You can remember that one. Every promise that you step towards is a promise he has made a way for. And you just pocket that for the next time, and you say, he has made a way for. We are the people of God, and we walk in miracles. As the people of God, then we are also made to be leaders. We're going to jump to chapter 4 for this. As we look at our second group of people, the leaders. We find Joshua here appointing 12 men, and he actually appoints them in chapter 3, verse 12. But he appointed them as a leader of every tribe because every family group has a leader. Someone who is supposed to, watch this, lead the family in following the presence of God. That is your job. To lead the family in following the presence of God. Not to be perfect. You are not perfect. I am not perfect. But to display the faith it takes to step into the promises of God. Church, your family depends on you. Your family depends on you. We're going to read verses 2 and 3 in chapter 4. But before we get there, it begins to talk about the significance of stones. And it's funny, as I was reading that first scripture in Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time to gather stones. What is a stone's significance? We're about to read what it's about, but I'm going to give you the significance before we read that. The stones represent the miracle. The stones represent the heavy things we pass through to get to our promise. They represent the fulfilled promise and the living God. They represent what we are willing to go through to obey God. They represent the visual memory of what God has done for his people. There's a time to gather stones. Verses 2 and 3 say this: take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. It says to take for yourselves. And with that, this is a call to all of us as individuals. We are responsible for what God is doing in our own life. But as leaders, we are also responsible for what God is doing in the lives of our family to the greatest degree that we can help. You can't force anyone to love God. I love that old saying, I can't push my kids or anyone else into heaven, but I can push them close to the door as possible, close to that gate as possible. We are responsible to take and share what God has done for our family. One of my hopes is that my dad and my grandmother sitting here in the second row will have time to write down all the miracles that God has done in my family, because there's a bunch, and I can't remember them all, but I want to share them with my children, and I want them to have down for further generations. Because watch this, I want my family history to be a book of miracles. It says then, out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the middle of what they're crossing over, they are to take these stones. Church, out of the middle of what you are crossing over, it could be a miraculous promise. It could be the hardest thing in your life. Remember the promise of God and what he has done for you, because that is your testimony. Now jump over to verse 8, because this is actually them doing it. It says, and the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Church, they carried them over to the place they lodged. You take your testimony to the place where you rest. Part of resting is remembering. I want you to think about that. Carry that with you. Part of resting is remembering what God has done. You set your testimony up to remind yourself and remind your family of all that God has and will do. It says they lodged in a place called Gilgal. The scholars think that that was 5 to 6 or 7 miles away. So they were willing to carry the burden. They carried that rock, that distance. They were willing to carry the burden of walking through the miracle until they saw it through. Carry your testimony with you. Are you willing to carry the weight of your family so they can see that God moves and he moves in your family? Church, watch this. The weight of leadership should be the weight of your testimony. The weight of leadership should be the weight of your testimony. Verse 9 says this, then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So get this, they set up a memorial in the middle of the river. Why? Because future generations, when the river would get low, maybe drought, whatever it was, the memorial rocks would begin to rise. And so in a time when people might worry and fear, they would be reminded of what God has done, the miracle power of the God of wonders, the God of miracles. I can imagine, this is funny for me, 2,000 years later, some guy with a prop boat running through there, nailing his engine on a big pile of rocks and thinking, what was that? Maybe there's a guy that knows his story and says, maybe that was that memorial. And they begin to talk about it. But they also put them in a place where the feet of the priests stood. Church, be sure to recognize, appreciate, and take from the miracle of what God is doing in your life. What I mean by that is take from it what you're supposed to. That struggle you're walking through, the miracle you're believing for or in right now, take from it what you are supposed to. Learn from it. Don't be afraid then to linger and stay in the presence of God while establishing what God has done. And as leaders, God calls us to some hard things. God calls us to some hard things and to walk out what we say we believe. This week, for my family, we had to walk out some things that we did not expect. And it was not very long ago that we shared with you that we were expecting a child. And we lost that child this week. Something we were not expecting. And we are still believing God for a miracle that he can ignite a heart that he created, because he can. But church, we still believe that even if he doesn't heal at this moment, and I have to meet my son in heaven one day, that God is still on his throne. He is still on his throne. And through the hard times, through the miracles, we look to the promise, and we will rest knowing that he is God. He is God, and he is the constant in my life. Last week, I sang a clip of a song I had written a while ago regarding one of Pastor's messages. And I thank God for that, because I was singing that this week before everything happened. And it's one of those moments that God had prepared my heart for. Because he says that he will never leave us or forsake us. And for me, I'm someone, I love music, I love worship. And so when I go through hard times, that's what I turn to. I worship the living God because it welcomes his presence into a place. And I learned that from a young age, that when we go through things, God wants to be there. So I know you'll never, ever, no, not ever leave me. I know you'll never, no, not ever, no, never leave. I'm not forsaken, abandoned. You cast fear from me. You are my father. As your child, I'll have no need. You love me perfectly. You love me perfectly. Church, God prepares us for things. Be sure you are listening. Because as leaders, as the people of God, we course the future for our families. But we're not only the people of God, we're not only leaders, we are also the priests of our homes. We are the priests that lead others to Jesus. And in verse 10 it says this, "So the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed over." The priests bore the ark. You bear the presence of God for others, for your family to encounter. If they do not know God, you bear the presence for them to encounter. You bear it for your family to recognize who leads. In church, I'll say this, I don't lead my family in the sense that God leads my family. God leads. They bore it till everything was finished. I encourage you today to see it through. to see it through. Lead your family, lead your friends, lead your church until you absolutely cannot anymore. And I pray that that is the day that you just go to be with the Lord. Lead them to more of Jesus. Lead them till your job is finished. It says, till everything the Lord commanded Joshua. Church, your family also then has to know everything that the Lord desires for us. Know what the Lord is leading your family to. You have to talk with them about God. In verse 11, it says this, after all the people had crossed over, then the priests with the ark crossed. It is our job to go in first and to come out last. We wait till everyone is through. Make sure you're bringing everyone with you. Church, you might have family or friends that do not know the Lord. Stand in the miracle promise of God that they will have that opportunity. And stand knowing that you might be that opportunity for them. Don't be afraid to share with them what God has done and is doing. Verse 12 and 13 says this, because it states all the tribes that crossed over. It states all the tribes that crossed over. Not just crossed over, though. They crossed over prepared for war. You see, the miracles of God are also meant to put you in a place of rest so that you are ready to fight on the other side. They didn't just rest on the other side. They rested while being prepared. I think that's something we can learn from today. We can often take our defenses down when we're tired. But church, the position of rest at Gilgal had a river to their rear and fields in the front. They were protected from behind and they could see what was coming ahead. God leads us through rivers so we can come to a place of rest that is actually a stronghold, a point of strength to take the rest of the promise. We need our resting to be strategic. We rest so we can take more ground. We don't rest so we can retreat. Our resting is for the advancement of territory. Verse 16 says this, command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. The ark is referred to the ark of testimony here, but in Hebrew, it is interchangeable with ark of the covenant. Ark of testimony, ark of the covenant. And I want you to notice, because covenant is promise, that God's promise is also your testimony. God's promise is your testimony. If it has not happened yet, it's interchangeable to God. His promise is done in Jesus. Treat them like that. Verse 18 says, and it came to pass when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry ground, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. As soon as the feet touched the ground, the waters came back. Church, I think God sometimes gives just enough. I know we hear that in church a lot. Oh, he gives more than enough. And yes, he does. More than enough to get you through and all that. But he likes to leave our faith stretched. I know some of you can agree from experience this morning that you have had just enough. God always has more than enough. But sometimes he gives us just enough, it seems like. He knows the timing of what you need. And he has planned for that. Verse 19 and 23, it shows Israel setting up the stones back at Gilgal. And in verse 22, it talks about letting your children know. Church, as a priest of your home, you have to talk to your kids about God. Every chance I get, I try to talk to my daughter. My son's not quite old enough to understand those concepts yet. He can't really talk very much. But with my daughter, I talk about things. And if the son that's in my wife's womb is not healed, then I will have to have that talk with my daughter. But I want to share these things with her because I want her faith to be based in what is real. That what she will know growing up is that God heals. And that God is in charge and he is sovereign. And you know what? I'm thankful that her faith is probably now and sometimes will be bigger than mine. Because that's what she will know. That is what she will know. And finally, in verse 24, it says that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Your testimony, church, is not made to be quiet. It's meant to be displayed before the whole earth. You talk about the Lord like he is the mighty God of wonders.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.